And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Ibarra. Michele, what's up?
Well, what an interesting week. A lot of basketball.
Yep.
A lot of intense games. A lot of terrible teams that for some reason takes and makes a ton of threes against OKC. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. They Thunder won the game last night, despite the horrible feelings that I think every Thunder fan had for 47 of the 48 minutes. Basketball feelings are back, everybody. They're just back in full force. What a horrific game to watch as you see your team just falling apart in front of you the whole time and seeing just players that shouldn't be playing this well. It's like, what is going on here? Like Nasir Little? Like what happened to you? What did you do? You know, Shaedon Sharpe was good and like that. That's not crazy to think of, but like Keon Johnson, like in creation mode, he had 14 points, 5 assists. You're like, what? Like, will you just like chill out? You know, Keon Johnson, like the Thunder needed Tritton Watford to go out of the game and get hurt. It's like, wait a minute. How many of you guys even knew who Tritton Watford was before this game? It was a boy, especially after all Thunder fans getting their laughs off at the Dallas Mavericks earlier that day, losing to the Hornets twice. Twice they lost to the Hornets one time. And then even Jason Kidd after the game was like dogging them, saying like, yeah, we can't do this. They do it again. Again, you lose to the Hornets without their three best players. No Tsunami Poppy. And you still lose.
Yeah. I watched the last quarter of that game. I know that Luka can make literally any shot, anywhere, at any time, at any point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 5 minutes where the game was alive. I mean, it was a game.
Yep.
Dallas' scheme was, hey, let's chuck a three and see what happens.
Let's chuck a three.
Let's play one pick and roll, and then immediately chuck a three. That was variation. Like you can either have an iso tree or just a screen, a simple screen. And it's not that they were not able to create open shots because, I mean, Charlotte's defense was horrible. It was Théo Maledon going left and right and create. It was quite a scene. I mean, PJ Washington, I mean, they were defending Luka this way. Let me describe this because it's so funny. Like PJ Washington was the de facto defender.
Yeah.
It was one screen and immediate switch. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you switching? There was no pressure on the screen. Kleba was just setting like very terrible screens.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Like, just try to fight one step.
That happens a lot in the NBA, though. I mean, as we saw the other night when Dort just like refused to let screens matter. You know, the effort on the screens from Marcus Morris was just like, hey, I'm just going to walk by you, and just so you know, this is how we do it in the NBA. You move on to the next guy, you know. Like, it wasn't even really screening, you know. And yeah, it wasn't that hard for Lou to fight through those. You know, it wasn't like Steve-O setting a screen. I mean, it was bad. Yeah, that was bad. Thunder barely got this one, man. The Thunder barely got this one in Portland. This should have been a blowout. And Mark talked about it after the game, and I think it's a really good point, is that these are guys that are fighting for their NBA careers. They're fighting for spots on the roster. They're fighting for minutes for next year. I mean, one of the big reasons that Trey Mann had, one, that he had hype, and then two, that he had guaranteed minutes to start off this season, was the way that he played the end of last season. That during moments like this, when it's Archie Diacono and Trenton Watford and, you know, Kevin Knox and those guys getting minutes, you know, Shaedon Sharpe is playing really well. It's good for him, but Sam Vecenie pointed out on Twitter this morning that it's like, hey, a lot of times these minutes just don't mean anything. So don't take this as like, you know, he's definitely going to be a star next year. I mean, I think we got ahead of ourselves, and a lot of people did about Trey.
Oh, and I did.
Yeah, I did too. And I thought this was going to be pretty big for him, and it ended up not being that. And another example of that was Davion Mitchell, who averaged 19-3-8 last year from mid-March to the end of the season. This is one that Sam Vecenie pointed out. And now he's like just kind of barely the backup point guard for the Kings. I mean, the end of the season, and I kind of I would like to name this Ramon Sessions. Oh my gosh, why can't
Session.
I want sessionsing? Oh my gosh, help me.
Seasoning.
No, this is like the Ramon Sessions thing. Remember whenever he played for the Bucks, and he was just going absolutely bonkers. And
vaguely though
I remember this part of it. I remember because I think I picked him up in fantasy, and he just turned into the best point guard in the world. And it was just like, whoa. And then the next year it was like, the Lakers have got to get Ramon Sessions. Like, they just have to get Ramon Sessions. This is going to make the difference. And it's sometimes the stuff at the end of seasons are not real. And it's not to say that for sure Shaedon Sharpe is not going to be this good. But it is, just remember that this happens, especially bad teams at the end of the season. Somebody's got to score the points. I mean, Trey Mann had a 20-point quarter last year.
Yeah, and it looked real against real defenders.
Yeah, he did it against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And you were just like, wow, like this has got to be real, right? And everybody felt really good about it. And, you know, last night, I'm like, man, can we get Trey Mann off the floor? Like, can we just find
him? No, why? He was not that bad.
He was okay.
He was not that bad.
He was okay. Defensively, his size is just going to be a problem. And he was a plus 17 last night. But he certainly has not been the guy that we had hoped that he would be. But, you know, who was the guy that we hoped that Trey Mann would be this season is Isaiah Joe last night, who was on fire. Fire in the first half. I mean, he saved the Thunder from humiliation last night.
Yeah. I mean, let's discuss briefly why Portland was playing well at the beginning of games. Zone.
Yeah.
You can't beat zone if you don't move the ball enough. You don't put the ball in the middle. They tried, but I mean, J. Will was not doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the shots were not going in.
Yeah.
It's really hard to have your starting unit missing a ton of threes. I mean, Giddy had the night of his life, basically, and it didn't matter for the defense. This is something where, and we don't have to go into the same usual discussion between me and you, but this is why, I mean, it's tricky to add non-shooters, or not even non-shooter, not volume shooters. It's really different. I mean, Portland was able to play, to cheat on everybody, not named Shay and sometimes J-Dub. And it's okay, because if someone else doesn't have it on the starting unit, you are going to have an efficient defense against a team that wants to drive the basketball and with like multiple players. And again, if you look at the scoreboard, and if you look at J-Dub, Shay, and Giddy, I mean, they were crazy efficient. Mm. I mean, let me do the math. 25 on, was it 26 or 41? No, that seems too good. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so they were incredible in terms of efficiency.
Great, I'm sure great night for the trio. Math.
But yeah, so they were insanely effective, and it almost wasn't enough.
Yeah,
it wasn't enough. I mean, so it's this is how, and I'm sure the OKC will go back and say, okay, when you have Chet, this is how we attack zone, and this will solve a ton of issues.
Oh my gosh.
By itself.
Yeah, having adding the number two pick and a guy who's, you know, can hit shots all over the court. I mean, we're seeing it. We're just being teased day after day before every game. We're just being teased by this guy. Last night there was video, I think it was from Joe, of him just hitting these like trailer threes where he's just like running up and you're like, oh man.
What do you make about the free seven kind of thing?
I don't know. I mean,
he just wants to hoop.
He wants to hoop. I mean, without a doubt, he wants to hoop. He's not going to. It's not going to happen. Not this year. So
wouldn't it be insane?
Yeah. I mean, right now, like...
Probably insane.
Like ESPN insane. Has, like, the questionable thing, which is just, like, it's flat-out false. I think it's coming from, like, RotoWire or something is tied into ESPN.
Oh, ESPN has it questionable, right?
Yeah. But I think it's coming from, like, a RotoWire thing who probably sees him, but... Like, you look at the official NBA report, and he's out. He's listed as out, and that will be until this season is over.
Regular season, you mean?
Regular season, postseason, championship, all of it. Like, I just don't...
Come on, give us hope. False hope.
If the Thunder somehow got to the NBA Finals in June, and the team doc said, you know what, I think he's ready to go, I think they would still say... Cool. We'll see you next season.
No, that's not true. If that is not true.
It's true.
That I don't believe. You say, okay, conference finals, say, okay, you're still 14 games from the title. But when you are, no, I don't believe that.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. He's not playing this year. they're not going to the finals either. So
that is real.
Yeah.
Well, if they go to the finals without Chet, I mean, it's going to be, I don't know, impossible.
Yeah.
They will not. But anyway.
Yeah. We'll see him next year. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be very, very fun. Hopefully a lot more fun than last night's game. Shay.
Do you want to have fun? Sorry.
Do I want to have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I want to have fun. I also don't want to get people hyped up about something that is definitely not true.
Yeah, I'm going to give you something to be hyped for, and it's actually real.
Yeah,
I have two players in their second year in the league.
Okay,
first one, roughly 30 minutes per game.
Okay, yeah,
roughly 14.5, roughly shot attempts per game, an effective field goal of 0.52, so 52% effective field goal and 16 points per game. The second player, second year in the league, 14.5 shots per game, effective field goal of 51%,
okay,
and 19 points per game. Can you name player one and player two?
I can. Do you want me to, or do you want to
yes
do it?
Yes, please.
The first player is Josh Giddey.
Yes.
And the second player is, drumroll, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
It's exactly right. So the fact that Giddy, who is one full year younger than what Shea was when he was in the second year in the league, is having a more efficient season by having roughly the same shot distribution. I mean, he's taking 3 threes per game. Shea, let's see. Maybe Shea was having a little bit more. 3.6. It's not that different. The thing that really differs from the two, it's trivial. It's the free throws. Shea was always able to generate free throws while Giddy, for some reason, can't.
Yeah.
He attacks the basket like in the same, I would say the same amount than Shea, maybe more.
Yeah.
But he's not able to generate, because if you look...
Against bigger guys, he tends to find the floaters. And then against smaller guys, he tends to use his muscle to get there.
But don't you think that the floaters cancel the mid-range attempts from Shea?
Probably. Yeah, probably so. It is, without a doubt, true, though, that Josh just gets zero calls for whatever reason.
Yeah, he doesn't get calls. So we are talking about an extremely, well, not extremely, a very efficient player. Because if you have 52% effective field goal, you are efficient. He's not getting any free throws, but the rest of his game offensively improved so much. I mean, I know that 19 points per game is better than 16.5, but Josh is having a lot more in terms of rebounds, in terms of assists. He has these stretches of the season where he's terrible, like immediately after All-Star break, but then he goes for weeks and weeks where he's just super duper solid. Yeah. He plays hard and he knows what to do. I really think that we have to start think about Giddy in a different way. Yeah. He's not treading waters. He is improving a lot because this team is winning basketball games and he is an integral, crucial part of this. It's not the same as doing it for a team that is not winning. And it's not the same to be efficient when you have a guy like Chris Paul passing you the ball a lot of times. I'm not saying that Shea was anything short of exceptional that season. But he was playing as the third guy. I mean, Giddy is playing as the second guy most nights. And he is guarded in a different way. He's creating his own shot a lot. I don't know how many of his shots from inside the arc are assisted. So all this is to say that if you want to be excited by something real, just look at Josh Giddy. Because he is being just different this season.
Yeah. Trivia question for you.
Okay.
He's played in 70 games total this season so far. How many of those games was he in single digits?
Oh. Six.
That's exactly right. That freaks me
out. That, and I swear I didn't check.
Yeah, I believe you. I am freaked out. Like, very freaked out that you got that on the nose.
Because I got it exactly right.
Wow.
Isn't that the trivia rule?
Yeah, six. I mean, the guy has been the second leading scorer on the team. He doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't get like that kind of respect. Mm-hmm. I think most of it is that he just doesn't do it in a traditional way, and he just doesn't look like other players that we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And he's not like it's easy to see like a guy like Isaiah Joe, who's like a knockdown shooter. Like, we know that guy. We've seen that guy a billion times in the NBA. Even J-Dub. Like, we've seen guys like him in the league over and over again. There's a lot of star players that play like him, right?
Yeah.
What's the Giddy comp?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking about Euro guys. Guys that played in Europe for the entire career.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. From the top of my head. He's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who was discussing this. Probably you with someone else about Sam Vecenie on his podcast.
Yeah.
About the fact that he was surprised by the physical transformation that he carried over this summer. He's way bigger. And you can actually feel it. like guys bumping off of him. Like the fact that he can just destroy guys when he goes against them.
Yeah.
Like it's I mean Giddy is amazing. I mean, if he finds consistency with his shot and he's just a little bit more focused on defense, because that is something where I'm not saying that he will be a lockdown defender. This is not what you like can expect from Giddy, but you can expect him to be better than what he was this season. And I think that will come. If he wants, that can come. It's just being there with your mind, being there with your body. And I also think that rebound wise, he's making a transformation on that end as well. He's getting contested rebounds way more often.
Yeah.
Like it's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, he's an incredible player. He's been very, very good. He's had an underrated season. One, because J-Dub's getting a ton of attention as a Rookie of the Year candidate, which he deserves as well. And then because Shea is so good. And then also you have Chet taking attention as well, who's just like, well, just wait until they get Chet back. You know, like that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, in the month of March, he's 17-8-7. You know, for the year, he's 16-7.9 and 6.1. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that are averaging 16 points, 7 boards, 6 assists per game, you know, in the league right now.
And again, last year you could say, hey, look, this guy is so inefficient. Like, you can make it if you are that inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 52% effective field goal, that is something where you can say, okay, on a great team, if you have a guy like that, that works.
Yeah.
Like, not on a good team, on a great team, you can sustain a guy like this. Actually, you are better off with a guy like that. I mean, if you think about like 48, 45, 46, okay, this is not efficient. Yeah, you will need very efficient guys around him to make him better. Mm-hmm. I mean, Giddy's not tanking OKC's offensive efficiency.
Mm-mm.
He's actually providing.
Yeah, he's providing not only his own, but for other players.
Yeah.
I mean, how many players average at least 16-8-6 on the season? How many players do you think it is?
Let's try to name them. So LeBron James.
LeBron James is one.
Giannis?
Nope.
Giannis is a little bit below with the assists, right?
Yes.
Okay. Luka?
Luka. That's two.
Let's see. 8 rebounds. I mean, Embiid doesn't have... Oh, Jokic, of course.
Jokic, yep. There's one more guy. There's 5 total guys.
Yeah.
That average at least 16-8-6 in the NBA this year.
That guy is trivial. Why I'm not thinking about him?
He used to play on the Thunder.
Sorry?
He used to play on the Thunder. It's not trivial. He's probably going to be all NBA.
Paul George?
Nope.
I don't know. Well, I can name James Harden, Russell Westbrook, or Kevin Durant.
Wrong.
Oh, then I don't know.
Domas.
Oh, yes. No, that is actually okay.
Yeah. So, listen again, everybody.
Yeah.
The list of players averaging 16-8-6, which is what Josh Giddey has averaged the entire season. The list is Nikola Jokic, Domantas Sabonis, Luka Doncic, LeBron James, and Josh Giddey. That's it.
Yeah, I wonder about their efficiency. I mean, Domas is more efficient. Jokic is more efficient. LeBron is probably a little bit more efficient, but not that much.
Yeah, I mean, he is the least efficient of the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Like, Jokic is like 70 true shooting. Domas is 66 true shooting. Luka's 61% true shooting. LeBron is 58. And Giddey is 53% true shooting.
But if you look at effective field goal, because that is, I mean, the free throws is something that
just he's still drives me. He's still bottom of the list.
Okay. by the same margin?
LeBron is lower and Luka's lower. Like he's 52% effective field goal. LeBron's 54. Luka's 56.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But still, he's 20.
Yes.
And the other guys are all either past their prime, in their prime with Domas and Jokic, and then Luka's just an absolute freak of nature, might be one of the best players to play the game ever.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's great. And you can see it. Like, yeah, he will miss a layup or two that are just things that he will make in the future. And also the fact that from the free throw line, he's not, if he gets more reps, I mean, I think that he can reach 80% or close on free throws. So I don't know why he's not generating those. Part is the way in which he gets to the basket that, I mean, he's just taller and bigger. And when he has like a smaller guys, he can just rise up above them. And so he's more a guy that drives with the guy with him instead of running towards the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to learn how to do that and still be effective, because this is something that you learn to do. I mean, you don't just drive towards people by nature. You try to like navigate. And this is not what he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. I think that he can learn. And when he will, because I think that it's when and not if, that will change. And if he goes around 55, 56 through shooting percentage, hey, that's a borderline / all-star.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, he's very, very impressive. And it's gone almost unnoticed, I feel like, this season. You know, I'm not sure that many people, and these are just like simple counting stats for him, but he's doing it on a team that's winning. Mm-hmm. And he's also not the main guy on his team. I mean, a lot of people think he's the third best guy on the team. And so if he can, I mean, last night he was 17, 11, and 6. A steal, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers, 7 of 12. He hit 3 threes. You know, I mean, what else is this guy supposed to do to make you think that he's got great potential? I mean, people easily knock him down. And it's just like, I mean, everybody. It's like, I don't know if Josh can be this. You know, I've heard it from so many people. And I'm just like, can we just hold our horses there for a minute?
Yeah, and I want to, I mean, criticize myself in the past. I mean, I was very, very dubious about the fit with Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, this may not work.
You weren't the only one. Even early this season, I mean, they were sitting Giddy at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't working for whatever reason. And you have to, like, in your brain, all right, well, we have to go to these places. Where can this actually work? And I haven't thought that.
In a
very long time. I haven't had that thought once since the turn of the new year. I mean, for sure, if not since the middle of December.
Exactly. I was going right there. Like, the main discussion at the beginning of the season, I remember Alex put it in these words. I mean, the only important thing of the season is learning if Shea can play with Giddy. This is the most important thing. And, like, right now, that is in the past.
Check.
Yes, in January, we knew that, yes, this can work.
Mm-hmm.
When you have shooters around them, this works. This just works on a very high level, not on, we can be in the middle kind of thing. Yeah. No, they can mesh together. And when J-Dub will be more aggressive, like he was at times last night with the three ball, and when Giddy is this aggressive, this can actually work well.
Yeah.
And it was like, again, we were saying at the beginning of the season, hey, if we learn after this season that Shea and Giddy can play together, the results, the wins, nothing really matters if we have that certainty at the end of the season. Yeah. And today, we can say, hey, we checked that. Like, these two players can be great together.
Yep.
Especially if you have shooting around.
Yeah.
but especially, not only, this is this is extremely important.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think Chet will provide that next year. And I think Isaiah Joe will be back. Just imagine a lineup that has Shea, Giddey.
Hendricks.
Shea, Giddey, Joe, J-Dub, Chet. That's a unit that will play and that will close some games for them. And that is pretty awesome. And there's a player and something that we have to address. There's a player I didn't mention in that lineup that, boy, has he had, it's been a rough stretch for my guy, Lou Dort. And, you know, we go from, you know, torture chamber, put him in the torture chamber. He just absolutely shut him down. Everybody was saying it, dude, all Thunder fans were having their Dort posts, you know? And I'm not saying that people are wrong to feel this way, because it has been a brutal stretch for him offensively. And there's you can't sugarcoat it, you know? So, I mean,
defense is not enough when you are this bad on offense.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he definitely still played at the end of the game. And
he made a few plays
and made some plays, made a defensive play there last night to help them win the game. That's great. But the field goal percentage, in the month of March, do you know what he's shooting from the field?
29.
That's not that bad. In the month of March, in 14 games, he's 33%, which it's not 29. It's not 29, okay? All right. Okay. It's not good. I can't.
It was 40.
No. I wish
when
it was
you said,
40.
No, 29.
How many months do you think he shot over 40% from the field?
Six months. Now I'm counting the month
out of six.
November, January. That's it.
Yes, that's correct. November and January. He was really close in December. He was 39% in December.
I'm on a roll.
You are. This is I'm freaked out officially. Officially freaked out at how well you're doing here. Yeah, he's shooting 33.7% from the field and 30% from three. The free throw percentage, though, in March, you know what he's shooting from the free throw line? If you get this on the nose, I might run out of the room just frightened.
88.3%.
Oh, good. Yeah, he didn't get it. 89.5% from the free throw line. And he's hit, in the month of March, he's hit some important free throws.
Yes, he did.
And
most likely did.
What's funny is that his field goal percentage and his three-point percentage don't even add up to equal his free throw percentage.
That's a singular thing.
Well, the singular thing is that they don't add up to 100.
Yeah.
That was Alex's thing, and he made it on the front page of NBA Reddit back in the day because Kyle Singler's shooting splits didn't add up to, to 100. But it's been a rough stretch for him. There's a lot of people out there making these big declarations about Dort can't play on this team, yada, yada. What are your thoughts?
I'm not the most qualified person to talk about this.
What does that mean? What do you mean? Who is?
I don't know. Someone who doesn't have this... name of being a Dort hater. So everything I say will be...
You are a Dort hater. It's true.
I am. I'm not a Dort hater. I'm just... I just love shooting.
Yeah.
I just love good shooters.
Yeah.
Or even normal ones.
Somehow I've turned into somebody that doesn't like shooting. People take some of my takes and just extrapolate it out to Andrew wishes we had nobody that could shoot on
You
the
don't
team.
Like shooting enough.
I don't like shooting enough. I like
you
shooting quite a bit.
You need to love shooting. You need to be enamored with guys that let it fly and make it. No, I think that there is a non-zero chance that in 2 years, Dort is not the starter for OKC. I do think the next year he will start at the beginning of the season unless they strike gold in the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, say that they, for some reason, they play the play-in. They just get the number four pick in the draft.
Hey, and I just hit Tankathon, and we got the number two pick.
Great. If Scooty's in the team, or Brandon Miller's in the team, then if you have a four that can shoot, even Hendricks, I don't think that it's out of the question that you start Shea, J-Dub, Giddy, Hendricks, or whatever.
That's the beauty. Roster is that if you draft a four and he's good enough to start, great, slide him in. If you draft a two and he's good enough to start, great, slide him in. If you draft a three and he's good enough to start, slide him in. You know, if you draft a point guard and he's good enough to start, slide him into the lineup.
Yeah, with that being the thing that I don't like too much.
I mean, if it's Scoot Henderson, then you just don't have a choice.
You find a way later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's not any other point guard in this class that's like just like, I mean, there's not like any traditional point guard like Cason Wallace. It's like, yeah, no thanks. You know, there's not anybody, and this isn't a great point guard draft either outside of
school. No, yeah, yeah. It's, but yeah, I do think that somewhere in the future, you need to question how many minutes you can give to a guy like Lu Dort. If it's his night, great. I was so happy, I think a week ago, that his shooting selection was getting better. He was getting more corner threes and stuff like that. And then, I mean, he can have games where he tries to shoot himself out of a slump. Mm-hmm. That is not who he is. Mm-hmm. You just, when you are in a slump, you go into the corner and you wait for a wide open one.
Yeah.
And you just stay there. Because you will be wide open. If you have a bad night shooting wise, nobody will defend you. So if you are there, you let others decide and you let the ball come to you when it's time.
Yeah.
And this is how. And if you miss four wide open corner threes, I don't possibly care.
Yeah.
If you miss a contested wild layup, I will be so miffed.
Yeah.
Because it's not your game. Yeah. Especially if there is Drew Eubanks on the other side who was a blocking machine.
Yeah. Drew Eubanks.
Two of them were goaltends, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And he's to Dort's credit, he's taking more corner threes than he did in the last 2 years. And he's still making them at a really high clip. Now, they're going to have to figure out a way to limit his usage rate, like, period, the end. Because you have players, like we just discussed, our golden boy, Josh Giddey, and Jalen Williams needs more possessions. And Shea needs possessions. And a guy named Chet's going to need possessions. And Lu Dort is going to have to figure out his place in the pecking order. And I'm not worried right now. I'm just not. There's just not a lot that could happen this year that would make me feel worried about any situation whatsoever with this team. One, they have overperformed what they should be. Dort contributes in a huge way to the way they defend. And having a player that pressures teams, you know, over half court and just is an absolute nightmare out there for guys. Like, you need those kind of players. I mean, I think Lu Dort has contributed to wins for sure. Now, offensively, he's going to have to figure it out. And I don't think that's like a mystery on the Thunder side.
No.
I mean, Mark Degnault earlier this season, I've told this probably four or five times this year. Mark Degnault, I was just asking him how he can get Jalen Williams more involved. And he offered up that there's this continuum for the Thunder that J-Dub and Trey Mann are on one end and Dort's on the other. And they need them both to be in the middle, which is J-Dub taking more shots and Lu Dort taking less shots. That's directly from the head coach.
Yeah.
So it's no mystery to the team that this is not great.
Yeah.
You know, Mark is not, you know, going into film and be like, hey, Dort, I know you're a 1 for 12, but I just love you, man.
Keep shooting, man.
This is beautiful. Great job. Like, no.
Can you imagine? They'll say, look at that pull-up jumper. That is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, no more pull-up twos, Lou.
Wow.
Like, corner, if he's taking wide open corner threes, and he's, like you said, if he misses five, like, I don't care. Like, that's great. That's the shot that you want.
I will
want.
Eventually care. Not today.
But his track record on corner threes, I mean, this year, according to Basketball Reference, he's shooting 42% on corner threes. And 23% of his shots are coming from there. Now, his rookie season, he took 39% of his shots from the corners. And I think that is probably not going to happen again. But if we can have it at like 30%, 32%.
39 is... What are you saying? I want to be more than 50. Like, more than 50 is...
I'm just telling you, I just don't know if 50 is going to happen. That'd be great, too. I would like to see that, too. Do I think that's realistic? I don't know. Do I think it's realistic? I don't know.
If he doesn't go back to 39, I don't think there is a huge chance that he ends the contract in OKC. This will not be sustainable. You have guys that, like, look at Wiggins. I know that Wiggins doesn't change games the way in which Dort can. I mean, the last 2 minutes against Portland, he made three defensive possessions that were, oh, that's insanely good. Like, it's almost like cracking like a cold beer in the in the summer heat. Like, wow, oh, that sound, I want that. And then he makes two or three plays on offense where it's like you're the nails on the backboard. Like, it's why it can be, you're great at defense, you got a huge fat contract which you can re-earn in 3 years if you score 12 points per game on league average efficiency.
Yeah.
That is the key.
Yeah.
You can get again 15 millions if you just play the right way. Just be okay with 8 shots, 4 being corner threes.
Mm-hmm.
That is not very hard to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, just destroy everyone on defense. Just get, like, dismantle guys on screens.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, again, I don't think that you can sustain a guy like that. You can't. You may, but you always have in the back of your mind, hey, can I get someone that can give me 80% of Dort defense and just league average offensive efficiency? Like, would you really suppose that you have Chet tomorrow and you have to play a single playing game?
Mm-hmm.
Would you play Kenrich more or Dort more?
I'd probably play Dort more.
Okay, you lost the game. No, I'm kidding.
What if Kenrich has to go to the free throw line at the end of the game?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, seriously, real thing at the end of, like, meaningful games that happens.
Yes.
Is, like, it could be anybody that has
to go. Can we get someone that is better than both Kenrich and Dort and start him?
They're both good players, man. They're both. I mean, we're not asking Lou Dort to be like the third guy on this team.
No.
I'm asking him to be like the sixth guy, the seventh best player on the team.
The fifth. If he wants to start, he needs to be.
I don't care if he starts. I really don't give a rip whether he starts, but I think that there's going to be a lot of games that he finishes for sure with this franchise moving forward, meaningful games. I know we like a lot of these guys on the team, but he is for sure one of the guys that when we get to a meaningful game that I want him on the court. And I know that there's going to be some ugly offensive possessions. That's going to happen. But defensively, there's just not anybody on the team that can replicate what he does. There's just not.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And depending on the matchup, if you got somebody that is, I mean, like a Luka Doncic, if you're playing the Mavs and a play-in game, you better believe Lou Dort's going to play 40-plus minutes in that game. whether you like it or not, Thunder fans,
I agree.
Book it. Take it to the bank. Stamp it. It's happening. Because there's nobody that can replicate what he does. And I know the offensive possessions, they bug me too. Because like a pull-up two from him is just like the biggest... Don't do that ever. His rim finishing is a problem without a doubt. But the fact that part of me just, it kind of blows my mind that he's a good free throw shooter. Like that just kind of blows my mind that he's almost 80%
from the free throw line. It shouldn't. When he takes good shots, he's okay.
Yeah.
He's more than okay.
He's 42%+ from the corners.
Exactly, which is good.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah. He's a frustrating player, there's no doubt. I mean, every team has frustrating players. Every team has guys where you're like, I don't know about this guy. You know, like every single team has those guys. That's just like a part of having, you know, like welcome to having a good team again, you know? Because on every single Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook team, was there not a guy that we talked about like this?
Oh, multiple guys.
Yeah, every single team. And here's the thing is like Thunder fans just don't know how to talk about a good team yet again. We just like every player should be good. Every player should be able to do this, this, and this. It's like that's just not how it goes. And you know what? The Thunder may find themselves in a place in 2 years where that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
They may find themselves in a place where everybody is good and Lou Dort's like their ninth guy.
Yeah.
They could, that with the amount of assets they have, that is not impossible.
Yeah, it's not likely, but
it's not likely, but if they get somebody in this draft that's good and you add them to the team and you're adding Chet, And they've got up to 4 first rounders in the next draft.
Yeah.
And let's say you just come away with 2 good players in that draft. And then you still have more picks moving forward. And you're like, hey, you know what? Like, we don't have a good 7th guy. Let's go trade for our good 7th guy. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, there's a chance that things could get really good. But for now, like, they're, I mean, one, just remember, this team wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
They weren't supposed to be doing this yet. And they are. And some of it is, whether you like it or not, because of Lou Dort. Because of, like, the competitive nature of Lou Dort. Like, it definitely takes the level of intensity for everybody up a notch. Because of the way that he competes and the way that he plays. It really does. And I know that just sounds like total BS. But they say that. Mark says that. Other teammates of his say that. Like, they watch him play and it's like, okay, well, I guess I got to play like this. I mean, that it is a thing. And part of the competitive nature of this Thunder team has to do with the way that Lou Dort plays. And trust me, I don't like the same offensive possessions that everybody else doesn't like. They're horrible. They're embarrassing. They make you put your hands in your head and just be like, come on, man. What are we doing here? You know, but you know what? Welcome back, basketball feelings. Everybody's got their feelings back, you know? We were dead inside for so many years. And I think that, you know, Mark has quite an affinity for Lugans Dort. I will tell you that.
I know.
I will tell you
that. I just want him to get to the same level of mindfulness in terms of shot selection that Wiggins and Kenrich have.
Yeah, trust me, I do think that they're, and remember, like, he's not 28. Like, Luke's 23. He needs to figure that out. He needs to absolutely figure that out. I need to address James Anderson, who we just have like this like ongoing conversation with that just will never end, and that's okay. He's in the chat. He says, Dort definitely isn't a Thunder guy. It's hard to argue for Lou and say that there isn't a place for a guy like Hendricks. He plays so much closer to what we want. Now, I just need to just... People have gotten it a little bit, like, twisted with the way that I've addressed, like, a Thunder guy. A lot of times when I'm talking about those guys, I'm talking about picking somebody in the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking
that makes
about...
a difference.
I'm talking about picking somebody with like a blue chip lottery pick that I guarantee you when the Thunder have those, they are not taking somebody who can't make a decision. They will not do that. That will not happen. Now, I mean, Lou was a guy that was picked up after the draft. He was undrafted, you know, and he has stuck around and he's been a part of the rebuild and he continues to like check these boxes for the Thunder. Like, with his level of competition, with the way that he competes, with his defense, I mean, it has gotten him really far. And trust me, if he was not as good as he is defensively, he would have been Darius Bazley a long time ago. Like, I can promise you that. With the lottery picks, though, I just don't think they're going to take anybody that can't make a decision with the basketball, because those are the guys that are the high upside swings that could potentially end up being like a star player. There are very, very few star players, if any, that can't make a decision with the basketball.
Yeah.
And that when you're picking in the top 10, you want that kind of guy for sure.
Yeah, so, I know. And James is saying that there's also a financial commitment. Yes, but 2 years of that financial commitment
it's not important. Yeah, yeah. It's not a long contract. He could easily be traded this summer for something to help the Thunder and not like you don't have to use a pick to get rid of him. I mean, it's not a bad contract. And also, he is best friends with Shea. And like, whether you like that or not, that's also a thing.
Yeah, and like D'Angelo Russell would cut. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
That's not the best example. But
and it doesn't mean that you can't trade them. But is it a bad thing to have best friends on a team, especially a young team like this? Like, no. Also, I mean, Jeff Green was a really close friend with Kevin Durant. I mean, they're not afraid to make those moves. You know?
Yeah, and again, we on this end, I agree with you, Andrew. I mean, I'm just provoking a lot. I do think that in if you have 5 minutes to go, I would never pick Kenrich ahead of Lu Dort. It's more like I would probably go ahead and start someone else and have him coming off the bench with more handlers on the court. Because I think that can make. I mean, I saw Isaiah Joe starting and it wasn't all that great. So, I mean, starting and getting into a rhythm is not the easiest thing to do. I mean, maybe Lu just needs different players to play with.
Yeah.
And I think that Chet will get shots. I mean, he will not be okay taking 12 shots. He will take more than that. He's a guy that wants to be the best player on this team, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And
it's going to change the complexion of the team in a drastic way.
Yes. Yeah. Shea may need to get less shots and less possessions. Do you really think that anybody will be okay with Lu Dort taking ill-advised jumper next season?
No.
No.
That it will change. Next year, it will undoubtedly change.
Yeah.
He's and not going to be able to do that.
And when other guys are more aggressive, I mean, look at the game against Portland. I mean, as soon as he sees that other guys are aggressive and taking shots, he's completely fine taking a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments where he's out of control because he doesn't see other guys around him taking the front seat and just being the guys who can create and make havocs on the on the offensive end. And he does that. So he should be more mindful. He should be better. But if he was, he would have been a lottery pick, probably.
Yeah, and I mean, Lu, if he wants to be a part of the Thunder, is going to have more self-awareness.
Yeah, and he will have.
That needs to happen next year. This year, I just refuse to like make anything. I mean, a lot of people are like, well, he for sure can't be this, or he for sure. Man, I just don't know. I just don't know that he for sure can't. Like, let's see how he fits in. If he's doing this same stuff, same amount of shots, same usage rate, same finishing at the rim, same pull-up two crap that he's doing, all right, you know what? Like, they need to reevaluate this. But right now, there are still shots to go around. There are possessions to go around. I mean, we saw the way that Portland was defending Shea. Like, you have to have some kind of outlet for Shea. And next year, if you insert Chet into the lineup, it's going to change a lot of things.
Can you imagine? Play zone?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, play zone.
How many possessions can you last?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to. With this current team, they have a ton of limitations. And people are very excited, and the fan base is very excited, and that's good. Like, everybody should be very excited. I mean, this is... And I talk about this. I'm on the tampering pod tomorrow with Sam Amick, and we talk about the Thunder. Wow. We talk about how they're a year, if not more than that, early. And it's a very, very exciting year. And this is a lot like when the Thunder made the playoffs to play the Lakers. You know, this is a big deal for this franchise. You know, this is an arrival. You know, I need to go over a couple of questions real quick from the Discord. This is from Mick Triple Double. I'd love for any of the pod crew to revisit the Presti postseason appearances versus arrival quote. This season certainly feels like an arrival, especially with what they're accomplishing without Chet, Potu, and Kenrich. I mean, yeah, this is the arrival, even if it's just one play-in game. This is the arrival, for sure. For
they still have to do it, but yeah,
they still have to do it.
Yeah,
but do you have any doubt that next year they're gonna be making a big, sincere push?
I don't have many.
Like it would be disappointing certainly if they didn't make a push. Okay, last one. This will get us off of the topic. Would you do this? This is from Aaron Staggs. Houston lands at number 5 in the lottery. They're dejected. They've had their worst year of the tank, and they somehow land at 5. Would you trade? Houston would get OKC's first round pick, OKC's second round pick, and the Houston pick for next year for number 5.
So is this a tricky question? I would do it in a heartbeat. That the best place where next year's pick can land for OKC is number 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get that.
Give them their pick back.
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah, I would do that.
Do you like this class enough to pick at 5?
I'm picking at 5.
Who do you like at 5?
Oh, there will likely be the Thompsons, one of the Thompsons. There will probably be one of Jairus Walker, Hendricks, and...
Yeah, Hendricks will be there for sure.
Yeah. But yes, I would love to be able to pick one of the guys that are in the top of this draft more than next year. I don't love this draft, but again, the upside of next year's pick is... not higher than 5, and next year's class is not better than this one. So if I have to pay pick 15 to do that, I mean, Presti paid 3 picks for Jang.
Yeah,
he would do that in a second. I would probably not even finish the sentence. Yes, I'll do it. Great.
Yeah, cool. It's a pretty easy yes for me. Also, just because next year's class is thought to be not great.
Yeah.
So. I mean, honestly, if you can make the play-in and still get that quote-unquote last, you know, lottery pick from, you know, this, like, rebuilding era, I mean, you can kind of play both sides of it. And I don't know. You get Jairus Walker or Anthony Black or one of the Thompson twins, and
yeah,
that's not too bad. I mean,
it's not too bad. I don't think that there is... I mean, it's too early to say if the top of the draft is fixed or if you can, like, trade a few picks and get into the mix of a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there are teams like Portland, if they go at 9,
mm-hmm.
do you really think that they would love to pick at 9? I don't. It's not that OKC has anything to offer. Either it's Dort or nothing, basically. And I don't think that OKC will trade Dort next season.
Yeah.
But they don't have pieces to trade. I mean, they don't have Mike. They won't trade Kenrich. And you don't trade Kenrich for a first-round pick. It's not that kind of deal.
Yeah. No, they would not do that. Yeah, I think it's an interesting exercise. It's just kind of... It's a good way to just illustrate the options that OKC has. Now, the question is, like, is that something Houston would do? Houston would just have to not really like the guys there and also believe that, like, James Harden is not coming to the team and that they could really stink again next year.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they will have that mindset at the draft. I will say that. This is where you wish the draft was after free agency, and then they could see that they're not getting Harden and that they couldn't get anybody. And then it's like, okay, well... Unless we believe that one of our guys is making a giant leap, like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leap into stardom, then we're going to be pretty bad again next year. So we may be better off picking at 13, bringing in Bryce Sensabaugh, and then trying to go get somebody at the top of the draft for sure next year and not have to sweat out our top 4 protected pick all year. You know, that's, I mean, that's definitely how I would want to do it.
He was about to, okay.
I'm back.
He's here.
Okay.
I was saying everyone goodbye, but.
For those of you listening on the podcast, you still got to hear me because I'm recording locally. So anyways, I had dropped off from the YouTube page for some reason. I don't know why. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to our show. Hope you guys have a great, great day. The Thunder have a three-game stretch. They got to get at least two, if not all three of these, if they want to stay alive here. We don't have an update on Shea, and that is the biggest part of this. You know, ankles, you can play through an ankle injury, and it's how do they wake up the next day? You know, yeah. how is he feeling today? I think is the big question that's been on my mind all day long. It's like, how does Shea feel? And if he feels good, I mean, they can probably miss him for one of these games at home and be okay. And then, you know, go get that game in Indy. You know, go get that game in Indiana. And I think if they win four in a row, and anytime you win just four in a row in the Western Conference, especially if you're in the 7 through 12 range, that gives you some pretty significant cushion in the Western Conference. Because right now they are tied with the Lakers for the 10th seed, the Lakers on the tiebreaker. If they won four in a row, they would be sitting at 41, or three in a row, they'd be sitting at 40 wins and 38 losses. And just, I mean, the teams that are two games above 500 are sitting at 6 right now. So go get these wins, Thunder, and I think they'll be sitting pretty for the postseason. All right. Anything else, Michele, before we go?
I'm just in awe from everything that is happening this season, including you saying, yeah, I'm on the tampering with Sammy Meek with like a normal.
Yeah.
It's like a normal thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's totally weird. Thanks so much for listening. Try to just keep the Dort hate to a minimum out there if you can. Just keep that down a little bit. All right, we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.